The Lock-In Podcast is brought to you by Rotocloud, the all-in-one solution for managing hospitality teams. Rotocloud lets you plan and share rotas, record attendance, and manage your team's annual leave, all in less time than it takes to make a brew. It also makes life easier for your staff, allowing them to check their rotas, request annual leave, and even pick up extra shifts, all through the Rotocloud mobile app. Start your 30-day free trial today by visiting rotocloud.com/lock-in. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Lock-In Podcast, this time in lockdown. We're recording again in the eerily empty Lockhart Tavern, which is obviously closed, although they are doing a thriving takeaway operation. With me as ever are my co-hosts, Heath Ball and James Cuthbertson. You may recognise Heath from his many appearances of late, appearing in The Sun, Mail, Metro and Russia Today, and possibly those who follow him on his OnlyFans account. James is perhaps a little less high profile than Heath, but that's primarily for legal reasons. Are the police still ringing, or is that...
No, stop now.
Yeah, good, that's stop, good. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe don't ride your bike.
That's for later.
Oh, yes, yeah, we'll talk about that later. So, Heath, we've got to talk about it, haven't we? You literally have become a massive media whore of late. You're everywhere. You do keep sending me links to these things, which is good fun. I do enjoy reading all these great stories about you. But why? What have you done?
I don't know if you've seen it. If those who've seen it will understand. But when the government said you must phone ahead your orders, I was just like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. Surely none of these guys have ever worked in a pub or been to a pub to place an order, texting. It's just another obstacle, and I was really frustrated at the government. I thought, what a load of shit. So I went on Amazon and bought two intercom phones and went and got a lead and just basically joined these two phones and put one down the end of the driveway and one in our little takeaway shed, and customers can basically pick up the phone, buzz us, and we'll pick up the other end and they can place their order. I didn't realise how funny it was. I was just taking the piss, but it got picked up by quite a few news networks, and you've hit the big time when Russian state media want to come and interview and film you. So, I was just taking the mick out of the government, really. And it's kind of a bit crazy. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing the Russian dubbed version of Heath's voice, which is going to be interesting.
It's the Antipodean James Bond villain, I reckon.
You wish.
I'm thinking more Ivan Drago.
Yeah, yeah.
What, from Rocky?
From Rocky.
Yeah, I'm like half his size.
Yeah, but
that's what makes it funny.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the support.
And is anyone actually using this phone now?
Because they are. They are. I think the thing is, I've had some freaks. Not freaks, but concerned citizens who
customers.
Who are concerned about the high, how hygienic it is and COVID.
You get a job with the FA.
Yeah. who are concerned about how hygienic it is to use the phone. And I'm like, well,
Are you actually cleaning it?
Yeah, we leave them wipes and stuff.
But they have to clean it.
They have to
clean it. Yeah, but I saw someone money about that. It's a virus, why you got cleansing wipes. They don't realise the point is that people put their hands to their mouths and hands to their eyes. Mm. It's just people have a lot of time.
I think if you're scared, WhatsApp us or call us on your phone. But then a lot of people just have a laugh. I think it's a bit different in London. I don't know how the rest of the country is. I see it down in Hayward's Heath. They're just a bit more, they don't really know there's a virus going on. But in London, everyone's tired of it. They just want their lives back. So people just want to laugh, and they're sick and tired of being stuck at home and screaming kids and all that. They just want to have a laugh. So
I was asking for a friend.
So I just think everyone, just having a laugh, and it could end up like one of those attractions in Midwest America where you've got this giant ball of string, and remember people last night just coming by to have a laugh and take a photo and have a mulled wine and go.
So
on
you become a landmark based on some dodgy phone connection.
Yeah, but listen,
it could be worse.
I tried to get red phones, so it was like the bat phone, but I couldn't find any red phones. So yeah,
but I still think it should have been two cans and a piece
it
of string.
Can't, because you wouldn't be abiding by the law, Ed. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
You've never been law-abiding.
In Greece? Or...
In many countries.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about lockdown then. We've been in it, what, now? A week? pretty much bang on the week, isn't it? So how is it going for you guys at the moment?
I think it's obviously different this summer. In summer, it was one big festival. Everybody was going to the parks and getting beers and margaritas and all sorts of cocktails and going and having fun. It was really festive and it was different. This time, it's cold, it's dark, it's miserable. Everyone's battle-worn. They want their lives back. And I think, you know, it's really difficult this time. And I think you can see it in London. People aren't really abiding by it. They've had enough. And so, yeah.
It's the same down here. I mean, I was in Hove at the weekend and just went for a walk along the seafront along with about
packed.
40 billion other people.
Yeah,
just sitting on the beach, I mean, you know, drinking cans and beers. And it just doesn't feel like a lockdown.
Lockdown doesn't make sense then, does it?
No.
You know, I mean, the only thing that's shut is gyms and pubs.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you know, one's really good for mental health, pubs, and the other one's good for your physical health, you know, and we're just killing it. Enough's enough, stop.
What about you, James? How are you finding it?
I think it's different the second time around. I think people just don't believe it. I don't think they've bought in at all. I thought some of the chaos around some of the rules, I'm talking pubs specifically with this whole pre-order thing, I think the government have made themselves a bit of a laughing stock, if honest. I think they've shown themselves to be... Well, I think as a trade, we've shown ourselves either the government are ignorant or it's highlighted that we don't actually get to influence the highest echelons, because to come up with this pre-order piece of work, it shows a complete lack of understanding. And I think on that basis, they've lost the trade. So I think that people were... Whereas, I was the first to say I thought that Rishi Sunak had done a great job with the furlough and the grants and all the rest at the start of it. I thought that was great. But I think now they've lost our respect a little bit, because it's just bloody ridiculous. And what amazes me is I can't remember, the BBPA, I think it was back in, you know, many years ago, talked about how many of the FTSE 100 chief execs had worked in the pub trade growing up, you know, uni and what have you. But clearly they weren't bloody listening or paying any attention. Because
they were kids, they weren't paying attention.
If those guys that were in, have gone to, you know, to be our decision makers, to be our influencers, and presumably some of those in the government, they've really not got it. They've really not got how this thing works. And I know that it's very easy that our world is just hospitality and we look at that and not look at anything else, but it's bloody disappointing to think that they thought that was okay. And I, for the likes of Kate Nichols and the other guys that are doing their very best, it must be soul-destroying, because it's clear there's a massive blind spot for us here. And we are big employers. We know next to the NHS, we're massive. Those guys are busy, obviously, but we're doing our best, and I think that I just think there's been a real blind spot for us.
I think the pre-order thing, it was almost an afterthought, wasn't it? I think they said no alcohol. They went, well, whatever. I'm assuming that most of the advisors in government sort of are Methodist or, you know, work
Mormons.
For some kind of teetotal organisation. Yeah. But there was no alcohol. Then obviously they had to sort of come up with some. Back sort
but
of,
did they say
they,
that out loud?
Wow.
Surely, like, okay, I've got an idea. Like, if we sat around the table now and said that, you'd just look at me and go, "Heath, shut up." Like, surely someone said, "Boris, mate, like, you're having a laugh. You can go to Sainsbury's, you can buy beers." Like, we can't pass
maybe,
this.
Maybe they don't have as many shares in pub companies as they do in the big retailers.
Yeah.
Because that's the unfairness was that, and everyone sort of, you don't want to be squealing like a bitch, you know, that your industry's been, you know, harsher than the others. But you're right, Heath. I mean, that's the point, is that Sainsbury's and all the rest of them are just loving it. And you know, actually, Sainsbury's posted really bad figures. But some of the other
good
guys...
Good example,
you know,
though, James.
You know, always like to take the top there, you know, the top of the tree. But, you know, how is it fair that they can walk in, you know, guys can walk in and buy what they want, but not from here, real ale. And again, what you don't realise is the massive amount of wastage that comes. We ran quite tight going into lockdown two because we thought it might happen.
Mm.
And we didn't get caught as bad as the first time. But... You know, you've got to feel for guys that are out there with a massive amount of wastage and not been able to deploy it into the customers.
So I don't understand what the government has against pubs or hospitality. I really,
like you said the other day, it's like they've not told us. They've waged war but not told us.
Yeah, they've started a war.
Well, it doesn't sit right, does it? Because you look at the start, and like you said, you know, they ploughed a lot of cash in. They gave great support. They did the Eat Out to Help Out scheme, rightly or wrongly. All these things, you know, the huge amounts of support. And then it's almost as if somebody sort of tapped someone on the shoulder and said, "What are you doing?" And they've just turned the taps off, and it's gone the opposite way, and now we seem to have gone back to this kind of anti-pub type mentality.
Yeah, it's like being prohibition. It's like they want to shut us all down. Mm. What is it, 12,000 pubs are at risk?
Mm.
You know, like they're destroying people's livelihoods. It's, you know, really.
Mm.
Enough's enough.
And the challenge is, I mean, some of the pubs are, I mean, there's some great businesses that are going to struggle. We've seen some of those already.
Yeah, but
it's actually those sort of wet like community pubs that are really important within their communities that did such great things as we looked at with the Great British Pub Awards. But I mean, those are the ones that seem to be sort of mostly suffering the most out of this. And
wet lead businesses, you're no support.
Yeah.
Except those grants, but that was the first time around.
But the grants only just paid off the bills, really. Paid off for the stock that was done, for the staff, you know, all that stuff, wasn't it, really? I mean, they helped keep things moving, but...
I think get us back open. Enough's enough. I mean, let us open up.
I mean, what's trade like at the moment? How are you finding it so far?
Difficult. It was better in the summer, like I said, because there was people moving around and, you know, life was great because you're outside in the sun. It's going to be an interesting month.
We've got four pubs, two are closed, two are open.
Yeah.
You know, and the two that are open are trading lovely, but they're open because they have a dynamic about them that allows social distancing, allows takeaway, developed, you know, sits within chimney pots, and it kind of works. But I think this whole thing just comes back to, you know, if you're at risk, stay at home.
Oh, God.
If you're not, then it's about risk management. And I think what people aren't accepting is a directive from Boris and the team now as to how they should live their lives. It's too much.
I mean, this lockdown compared to the previous one, I mean, what are your sort of, what are the big differences you've noticed?
Well, everybody bought into it, didn't they?
The first
time everybody bought into it, okay, we've got to save ourselves, we've got to save the nation, everybody stay at home, and they did, and it was a bit of a novelty. Now it's like, come on, seriously? Enough's enough.
But I think the red line, you know, you developed a trade up in North London there, didn't you?
Yeah.
During the first, we didn't do takeaway down here in Sussex, but people have adapted. When we did it for about a week down here in the first lockdown, and we binned it because we just didn't think it was safe, doable, whatever. But people have, you know, really thrown themselves in. So I think if there's any brightness on me,
it's that
actually, you were probably pretty much that. Golf courses were open. Yeah. No, they weren't. Damn it. But you know, people have accepted actually there's a takeaway element to pubs now. So if there's any glimmer of light, is that actually people will do takeaways from pubs if you do it right. I'm sure we'll come on to talking about that. But
and they support you. I think, you know, I mean, people really...
They do. You had that.
Yeah, a lady the other day, she came in and she was like, hi, you open? I said, not really, you know, we're opening in a couple of hours. She goes, oh, well, can I get some wine or whatever? I said, yeah, sure. She goes, what else?
She rung in first. She used the phone.
Yeah, of course, she
from
rang
the end of the driver.
From the end of the driver.
And wiped it down.
Yeah, of course. But she's just like, yeah, I just want to help. Whatever I can do to keep you guys here, because we want you to be here. And I think there's a lot of that. They, you know, and they can see how unfair the government's been on us now. You know, go back to it. Open us up. Let us do what we do well. And trust us. You know, the government don't trust us. And I don't think they believe in our industry. And I think they're out to destroy it for whatever reason. And I think...
Not that you're paranoid.
No, I'm not being paranoid, but give us the, you know, all these schemes and stuff. My staff don't want to be on furlough. They want to be working. They don't want to sit home. There's nothing on Netflix anyway.
No, we've rinsed Netflix really, haven't we? There's not much left.
Do you know, and TV's not getting made because they're all, because of COVID, so there's running out of shows, you know?
Apart from Russia Today coming and filming. They make it a bit of television.
But I do think there's a quorum at government level that just isn't getting it. I think your local MPs do get it. I think they are in touch more with the local
But business. How can they not understand pubs? Like, I'm a foreigner, right? But I can see how important they are. And, you know, you can talk about the bad and all the stuff that goes with them, but they're so important in this country. And they're just...
Well, they're a massive part of the tourism.
Yeah, and they're destroying it. Yeah. They really are.
But I think it must be that small group, because you look at our local MP down here, Mims Davies is our MP in Haven Seath. In Mid Sussex, and you know, we're just doing a piece at the moment about, you know, promoting local breweries, pubs, and what we're doing for charity and all that sort of stuff. So there's an understanding at grassroots level, but of a real issue.
How do we translate that through?
Well, we need an MP for pubs, then, don't we?
I mean, there's campaigns for that, isn't there? Then I mean, we do technically, apparently, have a pubs minister. I've lost track.
But there's your point. You know, you're leading journalist. You don't know who they are and what they're doing. I mean, it's just that's always been the problem. Is that we have
health minister.
But you know, you...
What was that gesture you made?
I think he was cocktail making.
Right, that's right.
I think that there's just not that understanding at that high level of what we're about, what we're really about. But if they don't understand it, I wouldn't let them in.
But I don't understand how Boris Johnson and the rest of his cronies grew up in this country and don't love pubs.
But Boris not want does to support love pubs, doesn't he? I mean, he's happy to sit in one and...
private members clubs, the fans of ours.
Yeah, well, after hours, apparently, so I hear.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not during lockdown, surely.
Yeah, during lockdown, so I hear. But I'm not going to say anymore.
Well, on that bombshell, let's move swiftly on, shall we? You're listening to the Lock-In podcast with myself, Ed Bennington, Heath Ball and James Cuthbertson. So we're going to have a chat about takeaway operations. I mean, we've seen a huge surge in this during the last lockdown and this lockdown as well, even more so in this lockdown. So then people that learned lessons previously have now applied it. I mean, James, you said you didn't do a takeaway at the Lockhart first time round, mainly because you're a chicken. Second time round.
No, lazy.
Lazy. Let's get it right. Couldn't be arsed. And you're doing it this time round. So, I mean, what's happening and why are you doing it this time when you didn't do it last time?
I think there's so much uncertainty. There was the first time around, it was like it was a big monster scene. You know, your front door, someone's going to be standing there giving you COVID. No one knew what it was going to be. Staff were worried. We have a big hospital nearby, so some of our staff also had jobs in the local hospital, so there was lots of concerns over that. And it was the sense of the unknown. I mean, I felt that we've got a grant here and we paid all our suppliers straight away, paid our rent straight away. So we cleared our decks, and it was a case of let's wait and see. Let's just wait and see what this does. Maybe the guys are a bit more fragile down this way, but there wasn't a need to... necessarily was a need to just go straight into trying to trade. Let's just have a little look.
Was there a demand, do you think?
We kind of knee-jerkly did like takeaway to start with, and there was a bit, but I think culture's changed a bit. I think if you look at this period, it's actually going to give us, if it's anything positive, the fact that pubs can do takeaway well, some, and can do drink takeaway well. Real ale can be taken home. You know, breweries have found a new revenue stream. So I think, you know, that'll be a positive thing that comes out of it, really. So I don't think it's all bad. But this time around, so reopening now, in lockdown two, people are just absolutely banging the door down to get the favourites, the things they love, the beer they love. So there's a confidence in that, really, that, you know, real ale can be drunk at home, that you can still have your favourite dishes at home. We've kind of put an all-star menu together of things that people love, but it doesn't happen easy. You know, it doesn't happen easy without expense, without you know, making sure that you work on the dishes that can travel. Those that can't, you need to be strict to yourself and say they just can't travel, because you've got to allow for 20 minutes in a box that food sweating, like steaks, for example. I mean, you've got no chance of getting a steak right in delivery. But be strong enough, you know, in that basis. So we've just looked at things that we think will travel. We've spent a lot of money on the right takeaway stuff, not just takeaway stuff, but the right stuff that won't have. You've got things like fries, you know, and chips that won't, you don't want them sweating in a box. You want to get a container that does that right. So I don't think it's a bit, it reminds me a bit. I just think you've got to do it right. You know, you've got to invest in the time and the effort to get the right packaging, and actually accept that you're going to give away some of your margin. Not as much as you would if you go to a delivery company, but you're going to do... You've got to do it right, eh? You're more experienced than me.
We'll come on to those kind of technicalities and the issues around delivery and things in a minute. I mean, Heath, you, unlike James, you weren't lazy. You dived right in and cracked on with it. So, I mean, what gave you the confidence?
Well, we took
confidence.
A view that the red was different, right?
I think...
It's all right, James, you were just lazy.
If you ever watched that TV show House with Hugh Laurie, and one of his catchphrases was, everybody lies, and I apply that to most things in my life. And when the government said they were closing down, and there was no time frame on that, and I thought, I can't afford, you know, the way furlough was going to work and the payments, and unless you had big cash flow behind you, you couldn't really sustain it. So... And I can't sit still anyway at the best of times. So I thought, well, I'll go straight in the... You know, I know I have like great local support in Highgate, so I went straight in the takeaways and the deliveries from day one. I think the 21st, at 12 o'clock, we were ready to go. But, yeah, I think it was a necessity of survival. And, you know, it's always been that for me, like, to survive. And I've got wife and kids, and, you know, I've got staff to look after, so it was about paying bills. And, and I didn't...
How's that new car, by the way?
So, yeah, that's good, thank you. and I didn't qualify for government grants. So... No. Do you know what I mean? That 25 grand, you know, it was a load of shit, because I would have taken 25 grand all day long. Just that would have helped cleared so much, but we didn't
qualify. Big turnover houses didn't get it, did they?
Yeah, that was the great crime. You know, the more successful...
The bigger employer, the more successful, didn't get it.
Rates are success tax. Yeah. The busier you are, the more rates you pay.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, we should have got... If they're going to give out grants, and I don't agree with the grant system, I think, you know, I'm just a bit like that. Because I know they're going to give it to us now, and then they're going to come hard later.
Yeah, the amount
of tax. I can't wait to see my daughter's pay slip in 30 years' time, and it'll be COVID-19 tax. Mm. It's going to be there for a long time. So
you're presumably she's getting a job.
I was going to say that's optimistic.
I'm not sure, but
I'm pretty sure Vegas will employ her.
She's going to be living off daddy for the rest of her life.
Well, let's not hope so. Yeah. Well. We went straight into takeaways, and it's worked really. It's been really successful for us. But it's a hard thing to do it properly.
So, I mean, let's look at that then, because, I mean, it's a hard thing to do. And, James, you've touched on that a little bit. You're talking about the packaging and getting the right... How do you arrive at getting the right packaging and getting the right products? I mean, was it just trial and error? What took me through the process?
I think a decent operator with a bit of common sense, you kind of know what travels and what doesn't.
Yeah, but you say that. I during lockdown, I ordered takeaway from Rocker in Charlotte Street, and they delivered up to Highgate, which is great. But I got the food, and it was all pretty packaging. But the food was all cold. Like, granted, it's a long way, but it was all cold.
It was sushi, right?
No, it wasn't. But it didn't travel well.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, and one thing I was like, it's packaging. You know, and I, as somebody who does get a lot of takeaways, it was always about packaging and how to make it. You know, so I spent a lot of time looking at stuff and just.
Are you aiming to deliver it hot then?
Yeah.
So because I know some places are doing sort of
retail. To table.
And I think if you're like a lot of my customers who are elderly, they don't want to fire up their oven.
Saw this the other day. I saw someone, really bad takeaway roast, Sunday roast, and it was like, oh, you've got to finish the potatoes in the oven. Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah, but I think, but I get where they're coming from.
I get where they're coming from,
but I know my father would never fire up the oven.
No.
He wouldn't want to do that, so he'd probably put it in the microwave, and then he's going to go, oh, the potatoes are shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's about maintaining your relationship through lockdown, maintaining your standards,
That's the hard thing about it.
It's hard.
I never wanted to do takeaway ever, because it's really hard giving the people that experience in the pub, but... Now, through necessity, I think we deliver really good takeaway food. And I'm always researching. I think the big thing was with packaging, I was always researching. And I was trying to find, see what other people do. I was ordering off other companies.
And early on.
Yeah, and seeing what was going on and just spending time on the internet.
I mean, it's a good point, isn't it? Ultimately, there's lots of takeaway businesses out there that have been doing this for a long time,
But have a look what they're doing.
Magpie that.
Yeah, but have a look, exactly. But surprisingly, you forget how bad takeaways are. Very few companies, like if you go and order off Yoacha, Chinese restaurant down in, you've got a few sites, their packaging's amazing. Mm. So people actually think about it. Motu, the Indian restaurant, which is part of JKS restaurants, you get it, and it's beautifully packaged.
What about the costs of packaging, though? I mean, what costs are we looking at?
The first time around in lockdown, I dropped all my prices on my food. To encourage, this time I've kept them all the same because the packaging is expensive. You know, the big box I use for the packaging is £1.50.
The box is going to, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then you've got all the other packaging and everything else. And so this time I haven't dropped my pricing. I've kept my pricing the same.
Right.
If you were
eating in.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Financially, I had to.
Yeah.
But also, you're confident that the delivery is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, we don't use third parties, so we do it all ourselves. So I employ staff, some on bikes, some on their mopeds, and I'm keeping them employed, and we can control the flow to the kitchen, and we can control the deliveries. The amount of times I've had deliveries from third party companies where they turn up and the food's just been like they don't care.
It's up in the washing machine.
Yeah. And my staff care. They'll make sure the food's there and it's hot and they'll do it quickly and we control the flow.
And they'll recognise the staff, the customer recognise
them. Yeah, the amount of deliveries I've done where they've gone, oh, it's the owner. Oh, and they show
you. Hoping for someone else.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Hope he's washed his hands.
It's a shower today.
From Russian state media.
Comrade Ball.
I mean, so when it comes to delivery, then, how have you addressed that? What are the practicalities? I think you've got staff doing it.
Yeah.
I mean,
we sort of say in 6 postcode, and then, people who go, well, actually, I'm in 19, it's the bottom of this. But we have, people answering the phone to myself or managers, and we sort of know who's who and we know where they are, and we sort of, you know, the support from the regulars has been amazing. Mm. Like, really, really, you know, it's been unprecedented. It's been so, so just sometimes, you know, brings a tear to my eye.
Really?
No, not really. But no, it's been amazing. So,
and you don't have to deal with them in sight as well, which is...
it's a bonus, you know. And you can drink while you're working. Joke. But yeah, no, it's good. It's good because, you know, we sort of, we're really there, and we're on the ground, and we're not using Deliveroo or Just Eat or anything like that. It's our team, it's our people, all employed. I want as many staff off furlough as possible. Mm. I want people working. Mm. I don't want them sitting at home getting lazy. I need to keep them engaged in the business.
And here at the Lockhart, James, are you doing delivery or is it purely collection?
Purely collection.
I'm asking for myself then.
Walk your lazy.
You can do it with
bastard.
A walk.
Mind you, my worry is you can't walk so quickly enough to get
it's
home.
It's been a long walk.
Be cold,
now,
yeah. Sorry, Sam, it's a long walk.
Yeah. I think you're using an excuse to get out, but.
Nonsense.
No, just collection. But people have been loving it. I mean, it's been so nice to see people recreating their Sunday lunches at home and sending pictures back to us. And that's been real fun, you know. Because it's no less prep here. You know, it's I worked last Sunday in the kitchen.
Sorry, you worked.
I know. It was a mistake. I kind of came in for a drink.
So many complaints that day. So many complaints.
And it was just great, you know. People were just dead keen to get their normal experience back at home. Probably with inferior wine, I would guess, unless they got it from us. But, no, but I'm joking.
And delivery, then. Let's touch on the thorny topic of delivery companies, because, I mean, you're using your staff, Heath. Yep. James, you're making people walk because you're lazy.
I'm making fat people walk to this way, Ed.
You need to start walking.
Can you say fat anymore? I'm not sure you can.
You can, because you are.
Well.
Oh, yeah, you're right, I did say it.
So, I mean, why not use? I mean, James, why not use a delivery service? I've noticed a few comments on social media sort of asking you to do that, and you generally tell people to piss off. So.
Yeah, you're right.
I've got a really good conspiracy theory answer.
Okay, so my answer, firstly, is that you just can't afford to. It's a friend of mine, Yasser Martini, always said to me, it was turnover for vanity, profit for sanity. And if you want turnover, yeah, go and sign up with the delivery guys. Do that. Do that. Have 20% of your orders come back and say it was cold, it was, you know, whatever, and have to credit them and give away 30-35% of your turnover to these guys, you know?
So it's loss of control as well. It's not just
loss of control. It's loss of profit. It's I think if you need to grab turnover, you do it. It's a bit like, but in the same, I see delivery as the same. The same as vouchers. And what you see now is some of the businesses that were voucher led and discount led, and they're a shit show out there now. You look at the fronts, the banners, the lights aren't working, some of these big brands that relied on discounts are just decimated. And I think delivery is the same way, because when the music stops, you're not making any bloody money. So why would you?
And you're burning all your assets, like all your staff are getting burnt out, your equipment's breaking down because you're just sweating the hell out of it, and you're not making profit. So what's
the point?
You're
still running your engine,
And then what they do, this is why I don't use third-party apps, is because what they'll do is
here comes the conspiracy.
No, I think it's quite valid. And I think I've read it somewhere.
Got his tinfoil hat on there.
No, it's just that what they'll do is they'll deliver or whatever. They'll come in and they'll go in. They'll start delivering all your food and all that for you. And they'll look at you. They'll watch all your algorithms and stuff. And they'll sit there and analyse it. And they'll work out in Highgate at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. They're doing 300 roast dinners out of that business, 300 out of that one. Let's open a dark kitchen round the corner in a car park and let's rip off the roast dinner market in Highgate, and we'll put our advert at the top and we'll sell all our stuff and we'll put these little pubs out of business. So, no, we don't want you in there. We don't want, you know, Deliveroo coming and turning up and the drivers are moody and driving around the corner 100 miles an hour. We want our people doing it. Keep it in-house.
I mean, I was going to ask James, but he's run off to get a drink. Get me a drink. Oh, thanks, James. That's very kind of you. I mean, why not get the staff delivering? I mean, you've got an electric bike. You could be out there delivering.
Hayward's Heath. Hayward's Heath's different, though, isn't it?
I mean, you might fall
it's
off.
It's further afield, though. It's not like Highgate, where we can do mile and cover 3,000 houses.
We've also got to think about, you know, it's insurance, right? Can you guys do it? Mm-hmm. But understand, and also from a consumer point of view, Deliveroo and Eat Out and all the rest of it's great, because what can I get? My Heritage is really poor, actually, in fairness. It's not great. But it's KFC, it's you know, a few other bits. But from a business, you kind of, it smacks of desperation, really, mm. or just chasing turnover.
Mm. Even like, a lot of people have to do it, you know what I mean? And even if they...
I'm not making that, you know, because you look at some of the brewers now, you look at some of the brewers that do, you know, big deals, and they'll do a big deal with someone that allows them then, you know, talk about canning, for example, but it allows them to do, the canning will be no margin, but the cans that they sell in the shops and the rest of it, as in their own shop, they'll make money on. Mm. So it's a kind of a bit of a loss leader. And I can see that with delivery. You're just making sure that your staff, your fixed costs are being worked.
Service, yes.
And we're not really in that business for us.
I mean, he's got the advantage. He's got his new car. He can get out and around.
Yeah,
no, you're
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, that is something. It's, anyway, we're not allowed to talk about the car.
I have to plead the Fifth Amendment.
So, I mean, also opening hours delivering when you're doing these. I mean, what are you all week, Keith? Or
really? No, so it's Tuesday to Thursday from 4 till 9, Friday and Saturday 12 till 9, and then Sunday 12 till 8.
Sounds most of the week. Whereas James, you're only Thursday to Sunday.
Friday, Sunday, midday.
Why not maximise the rest of it? Because I mean, let's be honest about it. You know, everyone's ordering takeaway times at the moment, aren't they?
Staff, though, isn't it? Staff, I mean, you can also think that most of the staff are sitting at home having a lovely old time, you know, and they're sitting there playing Xbox or, you know, playing with themselves or something else. I don't
okay,
know.
James.
I wondered where you were going with that.
Well, you say that all the time. Well, still on the podcast. But, you know, you can understand from a kind of young person's point of view that getting paid 80% of your money sitting at home.
Yeah, but that's why the government did it, so they had them at home. If they paid 60%, people would have to go and work. But 80% goes, you know what, in Austria...
But it's still costing us.
Yeah, it costs us 16.9% or something.
Not that you've worked it out.
I've sat there and worked it out, trust me. It's cheaper to sack people.
And on that positive note, let's move on. Listening to the Lock-In Podcast. We are now going to talk about staff. We touched on that earlier. So, I mean, let's talk about the challenges of handling your staff. Not like that, Heath. In this crisis, I mean, how's that been? Because, I mean, we've got the furlough scheme. You know, do you furlough people? Do you not furlough people? What have been the tough decisions you've had to make?
I think the furlough, obviously the furlough is great. Like, it's great like that, but we still have to pay NI and pensions. Now, if you've got no income, NI and pensions is a lot of money. So it's a tough choice. But yeah, it's not easy.
I think the consumer shouldn't think that furlough is just a kind of write-off for costs.
Well, same with the staff. The staff think that the government's paying for everything, and you try to explain to them, you don't want to make them, you know, but it's... You know, and the thing is, we all talk about training and stuff, and keeping staff on board and have well-trained staff is important. So you could do what Ramsay done, go and sack 400 staff, and then they'll retrain and rehire them later. But I want to keep my team, and I want to make, you know that I'm by their side. But it's financially, it's hard work, really hard work, mentally and, you know, mentally. I don't know. I'd rather be open. Mm-hmm. I'd just rather be open and trading.
I mean, you've obviously got staff on furlough, take it. What's the percentage of people have you got?
I've got, let's have a look at this. So I've got about 10 people working, probably 50% of my staff are furloughed, which is not bad. But then the Wenlock Arms, we've got all the staff furloughed, the Anchor Tap, all the staff are furloughed. The Lockhart, we've probably got about 80% furloughed.
Yeah. I mean, how do you make the decision between who you furlough and who you don't? Is it a lot of them, more attractive you keep on?
Well, you want your strong staff, but...
Yeah. Don't judge everyone else by your own standards, Edward.
Yeah, you want your strong staff, but also, you know, I mean,
think you're the customers.
But a lot of them don't want to work.
No.
That's the problem. Do you know what I mean? You can and can't, but you don't want to go. Like, I don't want to work with people who don't want to work. So you go for your key players. Do you know what I mean? And some people are just like, I asked all my staff at the Red Line. I said, who wants to be on furlough? Most of them put their hand up. There's very, you know,
it's a choice of being on furlough or working with you. So I mean. I don't know.
It's a furlough all the time.
It's a furlough every time.
But also, you look at the... you're going to ask them to do lots of different roles as well in terms of in the kitchen, delivery, packaging. It's not just sitting behind the bar. You want a member of staff that can just adapt and just, you know, roll the sleeves up. That's not everyone.
No. I mean, while they're, I suppose, challenged as well, while they're furloughed and they're not there, how do you keep them engaged? How do you sort of... maintain that contact?
We could do training, because training, you're legally allowed to train under furlough. So, you know, we have obviously WhatsApp groups that keeps them engaged, and
probably some we don't know about.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some hidden WhatsApp groups. Wish the boss would stop texting me. But yeah, just, you know, we're quite lucky. We've got a really good team. You know what I mean? It's taken a long time, but at all the pubs, we've got really good people. And it's just checking in. Do you know what I mean? Everybody okay? Bring those bottle openers back. Where are the pens? I can never find a pen. Bring your pens back when you come back to work. But just checking in with people all the time. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, on their walks, they come up and say hello and see what's going on. Is there anything they can do? You know,
they're kind of pals, aren't they? Most of them. You've got friend groups there that are just sort of look after themselves in a sense. You know, there's a lot of made of kind of mental illness and all the rest of it, you know what I mean? There's a lot of that around.
I mean, there's a big focus on mental health.
I get that. I absolutely get it. But I think our team are quite tight, you know, across the different sites. They kind of do look after each other. It's a bit of a family feel.
Mm.
We've always said that, haven't we? It's a family business, really.
Yeah. Where's the line, though? You know what I mean? Like, you've got the average age of people dying, and, you know, it's really unfortunate, it's 82. And you've got, like, 20-year-olds sitting at home losing their minds. Like, you know, really, it's not healthy. You know, we need to get back open.
I mean, is the mental health thing, is that something that's very much front of mind? Or
right now, I've got a couple of people who are, you know, not in a good place at all. Mm. They really aren't in a good place, and they're struggling. You know, one of my poor guys, his mum died a week before lockdown in Wales, and he couldn't go. Do you know what I mean? So he's like, you know, he's a mess.
What do you do?
Well, you do the best you can. Do you know what I mean? You try and support him as much as you can, but he's locked in an apartment by himself. Mm. You know? Like, how, you know, even if you were 40, 50, 60 years old, that's going to mess with you. Mm. You know, it's just, you know, I think the collateral damage of this whole pandemic is, it's going to take years to take stock of. But, you know, that's why we need to get back open. We need to get the economy moving. We need to get jobs back, you know, and try and, if you're vulnerable, stay at home, but just get back. Otherwise, we're just going to lose generations.
I suppose let's look at the challenges that the furlough's posed. I mean, you touched on this. You said, actually, people don't necessarily want to come back to work as well. I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with it when you kind of go, actually, you know what, guys, we need you back? And they're like, actually, I'm quite happy.
I had one guy, and I said, listen, I need you back. And he went, this is the first lockdown. He goes, oof, can you wait another week? I said, why? He goes, well, I was planning on going to holiday to Scotland. Like, are you effing serious? I haven't had a holiday all year. I'm working
here. Made him take the holiday as well, like that.
So, yeah. No, but if you're going to be like that, like, I don't want you around me. Go and enjoy your holiday, but don't complain to me when there's no shifts at the end of this.
But I think that comes back to, but there's a bigger thing here, which is about careers in the licensed trade, in the pub trade.
Yeah,
which is that people don't take it seriously. And back to what we talked about earlier, about the FTSE 100 guys having gone through the trade. But we've long since had an issue with this, and Keith Knowles and the like have gone on about this, and Franca and the guys about, you know, really having this taken as a serious trade, and people don't. And they look at it and go, well, I can take 80% of my wages, sit at home, and do you know what? Hey, if you don't tell me about it, I'll go somewhere else. Well, they earn decent cash.
Yeah, but they can't go anywhere. This is the rock.
No, it's interesting, but the attitude of the youngsters is that I can go somewhere. There's an arrogance with it. Mm. And I think that's
well, that's the same thing with Chef for years. There was always
Chefs. Oh my Christ.
Right now, they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I lived in America, I used to live in Dallas, Texas, and there was a restaurant called Del Frisco's steak restaurant, and the wait
before they deported you.
That
was Greece. Sorry. Yeah.
And at Del Frisco's, the waiter put up his job on it, like, you know, for sale. He was selling his position for $100,000.
Really?
He got on David Letterman and all these shows, and he looked after four tables a night, and he made $100,000 a year in tips.
Yeah.
$100,000 a year. That's taken seriously out there. Mm. Over here, anybody can do this job.
Well, it's the same on the continent, isn't it? You wouldn't think twice about seeing sort of a middle-aged man as a waiter, and, you know, that's his career, whereas over here it's
frowned upon.
It's
if you said to your parents, I'm going to become a bartender,
off they've stuck you through.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, what we need are real role models of people that we can hold up, people like you, Heath. That we can hold up. Actually, no,
I'm probably a bad example.
Let's say someone else.
It was going in the right direction, but, you know, but we went down a cul-de-sac.
But what kills me in this country is, right, you'll get some... you guys have a real class system, which obviously we don't have in New Zealand.
Yeah, but you have no class in New Zealand, something.
Well, we don't really, no, it's a bit rough. But over here, you guys will have... It's all right when posh guys go and open pubs, and their mum and daddy go, oh, this is amazing, and they go, oh, Giles has got a pub, isn't it beautiful? He's done really well. He's been eating educated, and he's got the family money behind him, and they support him. But if I go and go, oh, I've got a pub, they go, oh, yeah, really? Oh, that's nice. Well done, you. Good on you.
Kid from Henderson.
Yeah, coming all the way from the Antipodes. Well, it was a long boat ride, was it? Piss off.
You swam, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I wish. Yeah, I don't know. It's a different mentality over here. Back home, it's different as well. Like, it's just a bit more honest. Over here, it just seems like if you're in the pub trade, you're a second-class citizen, and that's what's happening with the government right now. Mm. We don't matter.
So, I mean, coming back to staff before he starts ranting, on a complete tangent there.
Start.
Again, we covered this. All right. So, I mean, we've been here. We don't need to hear it again. At least he's wearing shoes today. That's a bonus.
It's cold outside.
So, I mean, in terms of the difference between sort of the last lockdown and this lockdown with staff, have we noticed any difference? Is there... I mean, I notice it in our teams and things, so it's a kind of a little less energy. We're all a little bit like, oh, we've been here before.
Definitely colder.
And yeah, the weather's a bit shit, isn't it? And everything's... I mean, what's it like for you guys? I mean, how are staff reacting this time round compared to last time?
Well, I think they look at it as a holiday. I just think, honestly, they think, great.
After March.
Yeah, government's expending furlough. They don't, it's just one big holiday for them. It's a great excuse. It's like getting the dole, but you still have a job and it's all okay. Yeah, just, I'm bored of it as well.
Yeah. I think that's where the whole thing, though, in seriousness, the whole 16 or 18% were heated, you know, still contributing. It's not, you don't get a free pass.
No.
It's still eroding
still
your business
turnover. Yeah, yeah, which is why it's important to have that. Strings you better the takeaway.
And no operator wants further. Mm-hmm. They want to be open. Mm-hmm. No operator wants any other help. They just want to be open. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, some great operators have gone by the wayside now for no fault of their own. Mm. But just reopen.
Just let us open.
Reopen and let people be grown-ups and risk manage their own lives. I think that's the point.
Okay, you're listening to the Lock-In Podcast with myself, Ed Bennington, James Cuthbertson, and Heath Ball. We're going to now... Thanks for smacking your phone on the table.
Sorry.
We're now going to talk about...
This is fun.
It's because... we're going to talk about your favourite subject, Heath, customers, which is probably why you were doing vandalism to your phone. So, I mean, this is a long period. We've had a long period, sustained period during the summer, which we couldn't connect with customers. We've now got this month-long period now. I mean, how are you handling that? How are you... you have a great relationship with your customers. You're notorious for loving them.
I still, like... You know what's soul-destroying is when you get people ring up and go... I see on your website that you're open. No, we're not. Our website hasn't been updated yet. We're trying to get it updated.
Do you not think you should update your website?
We're trying to. Like, it's not that easy, but it's like day two of lockdown.
You could pay someone.
And they love telling you what's wrong. They want to be right. Congratulations, you're right. Yeah, it does say that. We're not open. The government said we've got to close. I'm bored of just stop. Take stock what you're saying to me. One lady complained. She goes... It doesn't stop. Like, I know they're not there anymore, but please just bear in mind what you're doing. Fuck, think before you speak. They just don't understand.
So even though you're closed, your customers are still tormenting you.
Yeah, they're complaining about stuff. Like, I'm not taking Christmas bookings because I want to wait and see what happens. And everybody's saying you should go and do this. Like, we're going to open on the 3rd or the 4th, whatever it is, and it's going to be tier 2. But I want confirmation before I waste my time going and taking loads of bookings, and then I know what will happen. I'll take a booking on the 3rd, and that we won't be open. And then that person will go, well, you've got my booking. I want you to move it to the 8th. And I'll go, well, there's no bookings left on the 8th. And they'll kick off.
Or they'll just leave you a bad TripAdvisor review.
Yeah, come on. Like, why do people, you know, even during lockdown, people were leaving shit reviews. what is that?
I think you just attract it, don't you?
I think they do it just to wind me up and just to see what response they get from me.
James, are you very active on TripAdvisor by any chance?
Occasionally
the odd review.
You told that guy. What did you say to that? Even I was like, put the phone down, James. You're having a banter with that guy on Facebook. Just leave it alone.
Well, no, just, you know, I think one of the great things about being self-employed on your own place is the ability to respond honestly, you know. You're not having to think about, like you, Ed, obviously, you know, what my boss thinks. And you can think bollocks and just throw it at them. You know, we're fortunate enough to be busy when we're open. And, yeah, you can just tell them what you think. And I think you need that, you know.
I mean, how are you, I mean, Heath, staying connected to your customers, I think you want to sever the connection as much as possible, but how do you stay connected to those customers?
Social media is great, right? Mm. I mean, social media is fantastic, although there's some people saying, you know, are you only doing your Sunday roast on a Sunday?
I love that. The amount of times I had a guy ring up the other day on Saturday, he wanted his Sunday roast, and I said, no, that's on Sunday. He goes, oh, really, you're not doing Sunday roast on Saturday? Like, can you yourself speak?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And this guy's a smart guy.
They're not smart. Yeah.
I tell you what about smart people. I've got a theory about smart people.
No common sense. Go on, give me.
They've got none at all. None at all. They've spent their life at university and they're super bright and they can follow the stock market and that. They can't tie their shoe. They're fucking stupid.
Whereas in Henderson, I didn't have shoes in Henderson.
We didn't wear shoes where I went from, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
No, I get it. I hate our customers too.
I don't hate them.
Really?
No, I don't.
Like, you dislike them intensely.
I feel like Basil at Faulty Towers sometimes with his wife and the customers and Manuel. And,
well, you've got the rat story. So.
Oh, yeah, I've got it all, mate. But I just think... Just be nice. If you're nice, just be nice. Why can't you just be nice people? Why is everybody so shitty?
Did you have a customer ring up and try and book a table the other night?
What's that?
You had a customer ring you and try to book a table in lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't. Like, and they get upset with you and they go, but why can't... Well, my favourite one is our reservation system still... We haven't cancelled all the reservations. They haven't had a chance. And, well, I just got a confirmation. So, you're still open? No, we're not. But I've got a confirmation. It's automatic. Oh, well, you should really sort that out. Yeah, I know. I've got a lot of...
Well, you should sort that out.
Yeah, I've got 1,000 other problems to worry about. Why do people have to be such shits?
So, staying in touch with your customers is important to you, is it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think they like the fact that I'm a bit mental and surly and angry.
It's a bit of a show.
It's not really a show, is it?
No, I just don't like people.
I just hate people.
I hate you too. You're boring.
I mean, you're in the best job for somebody who really enjoys...
But, you know, I started life as somebody who really liked people.
Really?
I did. I really did. For about a week.
Was that in New Zealand or...?
Like, but I don't think you guys... I honestly think you Brits don't know how good you've got it with your pubs. I think, and that's what pisses me off, because you're really lucky. Where I come from, the pubs are shit. And you come over here and they're amazing. I remember walking into my first pub in this country and it was a beautiful summer's May day or May spring day. And I went out at 1/2 pint of cider and they were happy people. And if I walked into a pub in New Zealand, Jesus Christ, it's not a pretty sight. You've all got teeth over here and shoes. Back home, it's very different. So I think, you know, and that's what really upsets me with what the government's doing with lockdown and all that. It's just destroying the most amazing thing you guys have in this country, other than that, the weather.
So, I mean, any advice you'd offer to other operators in terms of sort of staying connected to customers and maintaining those relationships?
You know, one of my
sort
of...
abusing them on the phone when they're...
Yeah, but one of my sort of things is I go and sweep the front yard on the school run. So, you know, it sounds a bit gimmicky, but I go out there on the school run when all the mums taking the kids to school and I'll go and sweep.
Say that again.
Yeah. All the mums. But I'll go and sweep the front yard and, you know, I'll be out there sweeping and cleaning and picking up cigarette butts.
How's your wife feel about that?
She doesn't really pay attention to me anymore. But, you know, I'm out there and you want to be seen. You know, I spend a lot, and just cleaning and stuff and just doing that sort of stuff just shows people, A, you care and you're around. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's you know, that's sort of my early morning thing. It only takes 5 minutes.
How about you, James?
Yeah, the same, really. Just been about the site.
Wait for the school run and then go and sweep up.
Always wait for the school run. So. Be about the site and be on social. Just be connected as you can, really. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, a slight change of subject here, but I mean, we touched on this earlier with finances and grants and things like that. Obviously, you weren't eligible last time round.
Yep.
Are you eligible this time?
What, $3,000 a month? I don't want to sound ungrateful, but Jesus, make it, you know, last time was based on your rates under 51,000. You know, what about actually we bring that into, you know, they don't want to give the money out. Like, give me, In Austria, you get 80%. If you shut, or they want you to shut, they'll give you 80% of your profit from that year, that month. Do that then. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, the more successful you are, the left you're left out in the cold. It's not fair.
Are you claiming the money?
Well, yeah, it's real. I'm not even aware. It sounds terrible. I just don't, like...
Well, you've got a car to pay for.
And a wife and two children, two dogs, 25 staff at the Red Lion, another 29. Yeah, like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I know the thing is that the government will say that, and then the local government will make it really difficult to get. They just don't have that energy for it anymore, you know what I mean?
I mean, the challenge with that, though, is if you don't claim it, you're probably going to end up paying for it.
Yeah, true. Mm. Yeah, true. Oh, just let us open. Just let us open. I'm bored now.
Hopefully Boris is listening.
No, he won't listen. He doesn't listen to anybody. He doesn't even listen to his hairdresser.
He certainly doesn't listen to his hairdresser.
Says the two bald men.
Yes, we know when there's a time to let go, Ed. Yeah. You know, the time's coming, my friend.
I'm clinging on.
If there's a strong wind, you're screwed.
Okay, and let's move on to the final session of the Lock-In Podcast, and let's cast our views forward, our minds forward. Let's look at the future. I mean, Heath, you've been pretty pessimistic from the start throughout this podcast here on what's going to happen. I mean, where do you see things going?
I think they'll let us open in December with loads of restrictions, and then they'll turn around in January and go, you guys ruined it. We've got higher rates now. We're going to shut you back down, and then we'll be shut again. Another lockdown of hospitality, and then we'll muddle on through to March, and then the cure will be rolled out, and there'll be the second coming of Christ, and then we'll be allowed to open. That's where I sort of see it going.
James,
I feel
could you be a little bit more positive?
I think they'll come. I think they'll come out of December. They can't give everything away. They'll keep the 10 p.m. curfew, because I think broadly that kind of works through Christmas. And then I think you'll be all right.
I mean, that's bullshit.
Do you think? Do you think they're going to just?
Yeah,
you know what? They're going to leave us alone in January, worst month of the year, and everybody's going to turn around.
No, I do.
And everyone's going to turn around and go, "I'm not drinking for January." No, we'll be allowed to be open. We'll have no support, and that will be it. Great.
Doing dry January?
A massive supporter of that.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
You should try low carb year.
Harsh.
I don't.
Does make me walk for my take on it.
No, I genuinely think. I think that's where it'll go. I think we'll be slightly restricted on hours, but
I mean the 10 p.m. curfew thing is just bullshit, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the biggest
evidence, right? So the whole thing's about evidence. There's no evidence.
No.
And that's the thing that just irks us the most.
You think it's going to stay? I mean, to be fair, we're questioning it. We're asking for. I was saying to you earlier, Heath, you know, we're asking the question. About the 10 p.m.
They need
nothing back.
So what they need to do is they need to be clear. This is bullshit what they're doing. They need to be clear. Guys, this is what you need to plan for. We can't plan for anything. Mm. Are we really going to open on that date? Give us the date.
Yeah.
100% commit to that date. He says that, but he said we wouldn't have a lockdown. He said we'd have a tier system. He's a liar. So give us the date. Stop. Just let us open. It's frustrating.
His head's going to explode.
Oh, that's just, it's just enough's enough, man. It's just bullshit what this government's doing.
I mean, they're talking about a tier four as well.
Oh,
which
piss
is a,
off.
Which is a worry. I mean, what is a tier four? I mean, surely it's just going to be a complete lockdown.
No one can count that high anyway. Like, enough.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You run out of fingers after that.
Tier one, what does that actually mean? Customers ask us.
Yeah. Well, customers ask you to fight the bloody ban, don't they? They ask you to go, why don't you push back? No, okay.
I think hospitality.
Did you see the pub that did say they were going to open?
Yeah.
And they announced it, and then unfortunately the police came and knocked, and they had to say, well, actually, no.
Surely the police don't want to be policing this. Surely if we all got together and we said enough, you know what I mean? Like, where's the voice in hospitality saying we're not going to take this anymore?
Well, it's you, isn't it?
We don't have it, though.
Too small.
I think that's very sad.
We need someone to say, well, come
he's
on.
Too small.
Come on. We
This is a problem, though, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, we're caught in the middle. We're getting the we're bearing the brunt of it. And I mean, let's not even get into the late night set. I mean, those guys.
Oh man,
Jesus,
come
they
on.
Are. I mean, they're taking a kick in. Absolutely, taking a kick in. And my heart goes out to them because they've got nothing. They can't do anything. They've got to sit there and suck it up and try and climb. But as an industry, we're taking a kick in for this. And it's
2% transmission.
Yeah.
2%.
Yeah. And it's three, no.
Three or two to three. Man, like.
Not the
do you know what I mean? You know, it's just not fair. Like, I'm beyond done with this government. The first time around, I was like, okay, we'll lock down, cool. Oh, we'll get through it. This time, it's just like, we're not going to lock down. We're going to be in tier systems and that. Mm. And then he just gets bullied into doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah, agreed.
It's, you know.
I mean, I guess the are we going to, I mean, you're right, actually, Heath. I think you said, you know, we'll come out, we'll have a Christmas, and then they'll blame us for it again. I mean, when does that stop? When do they just...
When we say enough's enough. When we turn around and we say to the government, no more, we're not doing this anymore. They can't keep on doing this to us. It's not fair. Do they read the stuff? Do they read the data? They don't. It's just... We're going to destroy the economy. We're going to destroy people's lives. What is it? Suicide rates have gone up 200%? Where does it stop? You know, I get it. People are dying, but what is it? 17th biggest cause of death in the UK is COVID, or 19th?
Mm.
Come on.
I mean, the bright spot that we've had this week has been the announcement of a vaccine. There's talks of other vaccines coming through as well. I mean, what do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to be first in the queue for that one. I've already got six fingers. I don't need any more.
But do you think that's going to help? Do you think we're going to see...
I think it gives confidence and it probably helps and they'll, you know, it. Yeah, it's a long way away.
Yeah.
You know, let's be honest, it's a long way away from where we need it to be and it's, you know, but it's hope.
Mm.
But yeah, just, are we ever going to be the same again? No. Is hospitality ever going to be the same again?
It's changed.
No, and anybody who says it's going to be the same and we can't wait to get back to normal, there is no new normal. The world's changed.
I mean, who's going to survive this? Which operator? Well, I mean, let's have a look. I mean, what operators are going to be left standing at the end?
I think there'll be a few. You know, the old boys, I suppose, Youngs. They didn't do well in their forecasts or their profits today and stuff. But I think there'll be, I don't know.
Old money.
Yeah. I think new money's highly leveraged. I think we're quite lucky. We're not leveraged, so I think we'll be okay. But if you've leveraged, you know, on expansion, you're gone.
For the wrong reasons too, you know, totally out of control. You can never have expected this. This isn't in any business plan. Mm. You know what I mean? This is just a, and that's why it's sad. That's why some great operators will go. And
yeah, what are we going to left with though? Are we going to end up with a high street full of Witherspoons?
Maybe.
Jesus. You know what I mean?
Let's do nice coffee, apparently. Good early breakfast.
Cheap beer.
Yeah, but pubs are more.
Don't
than
have
that.
You running them.
But
as
that's
well.
The thing, though. Pubs are more than that, and that's what's sad. They're more than cheap beer.
That's going to be the tragedy, isn't it? For me, I think is that loss of, if we lose that kind of that fundamental base of those community, so the wet lead boozers that you know, just they're the glue, aren't they?
Really.
I mean, that's like you said yourself, you know, Heath, you moved from the arse end of nowhere to the UK, to the centre of the world, obviously, and you fell in love with pubs.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And whether it's a crusty old boozer in the middle of nowhere or a, you know, gorgeous sort of thatched cottage in the middle of sort of the countryside, I mean, that's what's so great about pubs, isn't it? And if we lose that, that's a tragedy.
I've always had this fear, and I've said this before, I've always had this fear in the future that pubs are just going to get decimated, and what we're going to end up with is this pub in central London, and the tourists walk in.
What, Red Lion or something?
Yeah. And the tourists walk in, and they order a pint. They don't drink it, because no one drinks alcohol anymore. Mm. And they get their photo taken, and then they get a nice little card, like a Disney thing, and they go. And that's a pub experience. Mm. You know, like, we can't, you know, I know you know, look at France in the 60s. They sort of, the government went against alcohol. And all that's happened in the modern day now is that people take more antidepressants in France than drink alcohol. So what's the trade-off? And what's better for you, to be in a pub having, you know, intellectual banter with a friend, or drunk banter with a friend, than sitting at home taking antidepressants, watching fucking reality TV? So, you know, we've got to savour that.
What's your choice of reality TV?
Probably people who take photos of their cats and their bunny rabbits and their children. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I don't know, Ed. Does that ring a bell with you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I just spend my time on Instagram looking at people I know and their cats, rabbits. But you know, like, yeah, wouldn't you rather just be at the pub having a laugh with your mate?
Absolutely.
With your mate, suggesting you have one.
Yeah. I don't want any more. Let's not complicate birthdays.
We've established he doesn't like people.
I say mate really loosely, I just mean myself.
I mean, the flip side of this, of course, and it's a difficult one to broach, but is this will create opportunities.
Oh, very much so. Maybe it'll give, you know, some young entrepreneurs a real go at, like, doing something really different, and it'll rethink the pub market, and maybe, you know, we'll be better for it. What did Confucius say? Through chaos, there's opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be loads of opportunities.
Deep for you.
Yeah. Well, I read sometimes. Books with letters.
with pictures.
But I think, you know, I think there's going to be loads of opportunity. And I think, you know, if you can hold your own through this and then get through to the spring and the summer, it's a good time to pick up sites. Mm. And, you know, but what we've done is we don't want massive corporations picking up sites and just making it very vanilla on the high street. We need independent operators, and we need people who've got something different.
I mean, that's a challenge, isn't it? We've seen sort of prior to this, we saw things starting to change in terms of those. I mean, that escalation or you know, the inflation of the market. I mean, that's going to change, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the toxic lease thing is going to change. Mm. I think that kind of land grab on people just paying whatever they want to for a site in, you know, W1. That's got to change, though.
Yeah.
I think people have got to wake up from that.
Yeah, but it's hard, though, isn't it? Because those companies who own those buildings have got, you know, they've got pension funds and they've got all this and they've got to report back. And how do you change that? You know, it's I don't know.
It's kind of up to that top-down reform, which potentially, yeah. Well, who knows
kind
what
of
that's going to change.
Realignment, really, because people are paying silly money for stuff, weren't they?
Oh,
we were in for a couple of bits before, and it was like, you weren't really in the market, because someone's going to pay silly money to just beat you. And it was like,
so glad we didn't get involved in a lot of that stuff, because, man, some of the stuff we were going for.
We dodged some bullets, really.
You know, and I think that's, you know, I'm quite happy about that. I think going forward, I'm only going to do stuff, and we'll do stuff that we can sort of know that, it's, you know, so many sites, so many operators had sites that were losing money, but their other sites were making money.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Like, I never want that. And
you want the ones that are making money can make more money on, rather than trying to be a, you know.
But that's vanity, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've got 300 sites. Oh, well done you. How stressful is that?
Mm.
Yeah.
Small is good at the moment.
So I tell my wife.
And on that note, I think we should probably draw it to a close. But thank you very much, gentlemen, for that.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And hopefully we'll be back next week. And who knows what we'll be talking about then. Hopefully life after lockdown.